from your home of Close That Championship Window, you're letting a draft in, semi-live from Studio A, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
How's your week?
Good.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, it's nice out.
It is beautiful.
Summer's here.
Summer, officially.
First summer.
First, yeah, early. We're done with all the spring sessions. We're officially in early summer. Or are we in late stage spring?
Late spring.
70?
Yeah.
I mean,
it had 80 today, I think.
I guess to headlines, I found ramps. I found Rams and Morels.
Everybody
yeah,
else.
Rams and Morels. I accidentally, after work, found, I was just on break, looked down. I was working near the river. Morels.
So I found one in my backyard.
Yeah, just one.
Yes.
Delicious. Delicious.
Little guy, too.
One tiny, one tiny mushroom. That is my favorite. That's my favorite. Is that a sport, eating and finding morels?
Sure.
It feels like it, right? Foraging? Yeah. I don't know if WDRT has a show about just foraging for stuff, but I'd like to talk about it. At least for this week,
We could talk about this.
It's so nice outside. Yeah. Being outside this time of year, being in Wisconsin, it really is a sport. You got to find your season. For me, this is it. It's set between 60 and 70 all the time. No shorts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Watch for ticks. That's good stuff.
Sports?
Nope, that was it.
Okay.
Well, have a wonderful
time. Folks.
Yeah, get out there early. Enjoy the spring. Enjoy the weather. It's, traffic's not too bad. No, a lot of sports things have always happened. This is the official offseason of football, correct?
Yeah.
Can we officially have a football? We could say football is not.
This is the one time of the year for NFL that it kind of goes, draft is over. All the free agents for the most part. Now it's just filling in the gaps a little bit. Rookie mini camps are happening.
Oh yeah, the undrafted free agent
stuff. All those people. So you get a little bit of news on who, like Minnesota picked up Randy Moss's kid invited him to the rookie mini camp.
Really?
Yep.
I think he was a tight end? What did he play?
He's a receiver.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
So you get a lot of players like that coming in, all the clubs. Every one of them's got a rookie mini camp to figure out if you've got any talent or not. And this is where the diamond in the roughs come in.
Sure.
This is Minnesota's Ivan Pace Jr.
I was just going to say, a couple little years ago now, you had mentioned him as a player to watch in a mini camp, and he ended up starting for a team that won a lot of games and is one of their better defensive players. Yeah, though this is that spot in the Packers every single year. Have always found somebody.
I think Packers invited a UWL player.
Really?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Too many camp.
Yeah. So. I'd root for a second UWL, at least that I know of, UWL player to play for the Packers, right? Bill Schrader.
Yep.
And then I'm guessing he's probably a wide receiver, maybe. I just wanted to actually, when we were talking about, no NFL, I guess I was wrong. I wanted to quick talk about Packers draft picks and who they're going to replace. Because, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They also drafted a wide receiver in the third round. So on this roster, a couple of years ago, you were looking at five rookie wide receivers, two, first and second year guys. They had the youngest wide receiver room in the history of the NFL. Turned out most of those guys aren't really good.
Yeah.
They tried really hard to make Romeo Doubs into something. He got suspended last year, had a couple of flashes where he was something. But generally, players who get suspended aren't getting their second contract from that same team.
Jack Struder.
Okay, there you go.
Receiver.
Well, I'm rooting for him. Way to go. I'd like to see him be some practice squad wide receiver for the Packers. Probably. Would be great. Yeah. But if you're the Packers, you've now gone a couple years, and this year, you have a chance to turn over that wide receiver room. In the first round, you drafted Matthew Golden. He's a speed wide receiver on the outside who has the abilities to be a number one wide receiver. So for me,
maybe
that can be the end of Christian Watson, correct? If you're looking for, who does he replace on that roster? Christian Watson's legs finally stopped working correctly by the end of the year last year. He's going to miss most of this year with an ACL injury, Achilles injury.
Oh, really? I didn't know
Yes,
that.
Yep. Oh. He got hurt. He missed the playoffs. He missed.
Yeah, he's done as a Packer, though.
He flashed, but at a certain, now he's going into year four of his four-year contract. Yep, he could be very easily not see the field again for the Green Bay Packers. Dontavius Wicks, as much as he looks like a great wide receiver, he's all of 6'3". He's fast. He also had the highest drop rate in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wide receivers. There's something like 180 wide receivers in the NFL. Dontavius Wicks had the lowest catch percentage. Balls thrown to him, he had the lowest caught ball. So he's not for me. He's not the future of the Packers. They also drafted a wide receiver in the third round, Savion Williams. Savion was a Wildcat quarterback, running back, wide receiver, punt returner, kick returner, all around for the Packers. That's a perfect guy to be able to. Now Jalen Reed doesn't have to be that gadget guy. Sure. Keyshawn Nixon doesn't have to return kicks. If he's Cordell Patterson, which I guess as a Vikings fan, the Cordell Patterson experience didn't work great for Minnesota, okay. But it worked okay.
Yeah.
Cordell Patterson has had a long career now playing for Atlanta. Williams looks like that guy.
Yeah.
I would like that. Anthony Belton, the guy they drafted, probably the biggest offensive lineman I have ever seen. He is 6'7", 350 pounds. He's a big, yeah, big, right?
Yeah, right.
That's pretty big. For me, that's the end of Rashid Walker. He was a guy, seventh round pick a couple of years ago, playing left tackle. Tell you what, seventh round players aren't generally looked at as left tackle is the most important position on the offensive line. You're protecting the most important player in sports, on your franchise most certainly. Generally, a seventh round guy is not the answer. So I could see him on his way out. They're looking. They have to pay him. They have to pay their right tackle. Right. They have to pay some young guys.
Yep.
They could very, very well be on their way out. Also, later in the draft, because they always need defensive guys, edge guys. Their new system. They're looking to fourth, fifth, sixth round. They went edge rushers, defensive tackles. Fourth, fifth, sixth round guys are not starters.
Right.
They're depth guys. They're guys if they show up in camp, get a chance to beat out some of the more expensive incumbents, guys like Lucas Van Ness. Lucas Van Ness is entering his third year. As a first-round pick entering your third year, you better start being great because you're going to be expensive. In your fourth and fifth years, you're like Devontae Wyatt got his fifth-year option picked up. Quay Walker's fifth-year option did not get picked up. Once you hit that fourth and fifth year, you need to have established yourself. And so far, Lucas Van Ness has established himself as a C-plus at best defensive player. Yeah. So that's not what you need. So you could see at least early in the draft, these guys that you've kind of grown accustomed to rooting for, cheering for, or becoming shaking your head at them because they've missed another play, another game, those are the guys who might be gone. So that's, I guess that is all the NFL that I was going to talk about for the week. I can't think of anything else. Like I said, those mini camps, those cuts, those are things that happen a month from now.
They have a 90-man roster, not including practice squad or anything. But
and they get down to 50?
53
man by game days. So you're talking 40. Oh, math's hard. 40-some players you're cutting between now and the next 3 months, 4 months from now?
Yep.
So that'll be, like I said, we'll dip our toes into more NFL all the time if we can. But otherwise, we can talk about, NBA.
Okay.
NBA basketball. We are entering the second round of the NBA playoffs.
Correct.
Oklahoma. I watched an entire basketball game yesterday. Oklahoma City and the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
That's fantastic basketball. I really like styles make a fight kind of thing.
You know what though? I've been really annoyed with the Joker.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic is an acquired taste.
He's like a temperamental kid,
you've got
several. Mine are all adults, but it's like he throws a temper tantrum, and he's kind of a shady player on the court.
Yeah, yep.
You know, he was called with a technical.
He's got lingering. Flagrant. He has lingering elbows on screens. Yeah.
That happened last night.
Yep, he's got the Nikola Jokic is the center for the Nuggets.
Yes,
he's an MVP at least once, maybe twice.
He was
NBA champion.
He's probably gonna be. He was nominated, I think, again this year.
Yes, he's a finalist.
He's going to be number two.
He's in the top three, four. And, you know, European players have, at least since I've been watching basketball, have gotten the reputation for being dirty, flopping, throwing elbows. Vadi Divac was like that. He played for the Kings and the Lakers. Big-time flopper. Arvydas Sabonis, big-time flopper.
Right.
Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic.
Yep.
You're talking about guys who always feels a little bit like they grew up watching soccer.
Right.
Even Giannis is the same way. Giannis is so demonstrative, making blocks. When he makes the block, when he gets blocked, when he thinks there's a foul, you see a lot of arms up. You see,
but he argues with the ref, like, adamantly. Yeah. They're in this. The fact that he hasn't been, like, thrown out of a game because of that, I think he has.
It's interesting because they have the officials for the NBA have specific words that they, if they hear, are automatic technical fouls.
Right.
Because there's cameras everywhere.
Right.
There's fans everywhere.
Well, you can't say those on
you can't say those on the radio either. Right, use your best imagination or don't, but you can't say those anywhere.
Right. You can't insinuate toward a ref.
And so it's really impressive to me that guys can get away with what they can get away with referees.
Right.
Because if you flip over and watch the Golden State Warriors against the Timberwolves?
Tonight.
Yep. You will see really old versus young.
Yep.
Old school versus new school. I remember. I'm old enough to remember when Golden State was new school.
Yeah.
I remember when Steph Curry was a Davidson fighting something or others, and they beat the Badgers in the Elite Eight.
Right.
I've been watching Steph Curry a long time. He's now old guy.
Yep.
Draymond Green, I watched him at Michigan State. He's now a grizzled old man. He's grayer than either of us, which is pretty remarkable. But he looks like he's 48, and he's in his late 30s as an NBA player. But that's
even bringing in Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler is the
still,
same thing.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's not a young man either. He went to Marquette. That's a team, the Golden State Warriors, that I keep rooting for over and over and over.
Till now.
Over the last, even now.
I'm not.
Against the Timberwolves, that's a great series. The athleticism in the Timberwolves is remarkable. Anthony Edwards is the best athlete in the NBA, perhaps.
Almost. I mean, from the reports and everything, how he works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr was the one that kind of influenced him. Because they were working him out for the draft.
I can see that, yeah.
You know, and he said, is that all you got? And then it's pushed him. So he is where he at, partly because of influence,
Yeah.
But this is the series he wanted. He wanted to play against Curry. He wanted to play this team because he put a stamp on it. I mean, he already played against LeBron now.
Correct.
And sent them home.
This is
dominated
him. Anthony Edwards has a chance to become, with this series, the best player in the NBA.
The goal killer.
It's whether you become,
that's really what it is.
Whether you become the face of the NBA because of this.
He doesn't want it.
He's going to become the best player in the NBA because of this. He's, he's not a finalist for the MVP.
No.
But when
he kicks it up.
Watching the high end. That's why Oklahoma City and the Nuggets the Nuggets have the best player in the NBA. Oklahoma City's got the second best player in the NBA. Oklahoma City also has guys like Chet Holmgren, who is 7'4", and I'm not kidding you, 210 pounds.
Yeah, right.
He's a scrawny feller, but he's very tall and really impressive to watch. I've watched Aaron Gordon now, power forward for the Nuggets, two game winners in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They showed a stat. His last five baskets with under 5 seconds to go in the fourth quarter or overtime have all been makes, which is a interesting statistic.
Yeah, yeah.
If you like interesting statistics,
that's probably a better statistic than LeBron.
It is 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that should tell you because LeBron James is not in the playoffs still. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope. That series is fantastic to watch. It also tells you as a Bucks fan, unfortunately, just how far away the Milwaukee Bucks would have to get.
I'm surprised they haven't fired anybody yet.
Well, it's a Doc Rivers thing. The agent for Doc Rivers has consistently done a great job of having his contracts be 1 year too long, where Doc Rivers can step down at the end of this coaching cycle, save some face, get some money from the Bucks, go into front office position, and fade away and become a broadcaster again.
Yeah.
I am not a Doc Rivers fan,
right?
And nor have I met one. I haven't. Yeah. I know a lot of basketball fans, and none of them have said, "Man, that Doc Rivers,
right?
That's the key. That's getting you over the hump." No, I'm afraid that the Bucks
are gonna
have no hump to get over.
Yeah.
They are as good as they're going to be. They won a championship this century.
2021.
They won a legitimate championship with the best player on the court being Giannis. And at this point, they could trade him, and I support it. That's a
rebuild.
It's hard to rebuild when you are trading the best player in the end. The Mavericks tried really hard to do a rebuild by trading the best player on their roster.
Right, at this point, it looked like a good trade now.
It looks okay. It looks like a
like
decent
the reason
enough.
Why they did it.
Yep, they saved some money.
Well, no, because their issues were his longevity.
And his defense.
And his, you know, his physical demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
So look what happened in
yeah, he got he looked run, he looked oh, run down looked and aged. Oddish.
And he was even J.J. Redick even said something.
Yep, they weren't indirectly. They weren't in championship shape, is what he was saying. Yep. No, so I mean, I was watching the Celtics and the Knicks. Stylistically, was about the ugliest good game I've seen.
Sure.
The Boston Celtics they took more, shot more, made more three-pointers than any team.
But that's all they did.
In the history of the NBA.
Right, but that's all they do.
They broke their own record of last year by they broke their own record by like game 70.
Sure.
Last year. It was really.
But that's, I mean, I watched that game because I'm a kind of a fan of
sure.
both teams,
yeah,
you know. I'm kind of liking the Knicks lately.
I like their style.
Yeah, you know, Jalen Brunson is kind of a favorite of mine.
Carl Anthony
Towns is there.
has turned the corner for me. Yeah, I mean, as a T-Wolves fan, he's watching a guy succeed when he failed your team is hard. It's bittersweet.
But he really hasn't, though.
No, he's been pretty darn good for
the
Knicks.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
But at times, you go, oh, that's why Minnesota got rid
100%.
Of him.
Yep.
You
that's
know?
Why
that was last night.
They had
Dang.
To pick between Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns, and they did, and they chose the right thing. But the Knicks, so watching that game was hard because the Celtics missed 45 three-pointers.
Yeah.
45. They missed. They didn't just take 45. They missed 45.
But that's like the last quarter.
And they almost won.
Right, but that last quarter, but that's all they were. They weren't trying to even go to the basket.
Nope.
Not even close.
Nope.
But that's like, okay, you guys got some good players. Go to the basket.
Right.
You
know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are supposedly, they also shot, I believe in that game, your two best players shot 5 for 25 from 3.
Jaylen for
land,
sure.
1 for 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say just keep shooting. But eventually you got to just stop shooting. That's a game where New York Knicks probably aren't going to win that series, but this gives them a window. This gives them an opportunity.
All the experts were like, well, if before the game last night, were like, well, this is the way New York's going to win this game.
Yep.
And exactly that it happened that way. So if the Celtics can prevent that, which they can because they've been doing it all year the same way,
right. But
no change.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to the basket. They're not aggressive, really.
Yeah, that's –
you know,
winning you'd like to think you can't win a championship playing like that, except they totally did last year.
Yeah.
But
they also, New York, which was in that mix last year, they were completely decimated with injuries.
Yes.
Which they didn't make they made it pretty far considering.
It's also a thing where when you're that good and your style is so distinct, teams set up to defend that.
Right.
The New York Knicks spent the last two off seasons loading up with wing defenders who can guard multiple positions and switch on everybody so that all these three-point guys are covered.
Right.
So they've done their part. The other game, the fourth game going, is the Cavs and the
Pacers.
Team that beat the Bucks and the Pacers.
Yep.
And the Pacers also won that game. Maybe we've underrated how good the Pacers actually are. Tyrese Halliburton is a legit player.
Yep.
Pascal Siakam is a legit big man. They've got athletic wings.
Donovan Mitchell, though, man.
And for the Cavs, the Cavs were the best team record-wise, I believe, in the NBA this year.
Yep.
They have size all over the place, and Donovan Mitchell is probably the best scorer in the NBA.
Yeah.
He's really, really fun to watch. A lot of these guys have it's an odd, herky-jerky kind of way that they score 30 points a game.
Right.
Donovan Mitchell is one of those guys. It's really good to watch. Like I said, if you could just
these are all great. They've turned into great series, all four of them are going to be.
If you just tell me that the only product the NBA was producing was playoffs, I would be.
Yeah.
It's like watching if every WWE event was WrestleMania. Watching the playoffs all the time. Yeah, it's so much better than.
And I've said it before, during the regular season, the NBA, I don't really pay attention to
it. Game 57 of an 82-game season where your stars are resting and hurt, and it's.
Even though you paid $200 for a ticket to see
your
stars.
Those games are hard to watch. I watched one of the last game of the NBA this season. I went to one, and there was the Bucks top eight players were all sitting watching watching the game, and it was still an NBA game. Pat Connaughton went for 40 and change, but that's the product the NBA will give you until the playoffs. And once the playoffs start, yeah, they're a fantastic. They really got it together. That'll be next week. We'll do a little bit more because you'll have a little more. One of these series might even be over by then. There's,
yeah, we got the Timberwolves Warriors game tonight, which is going to be a good one.
I'm going to stay up and watch that one. That one's going to be up late. That is good. That's good sport.
I think the Nuggets will win.
Sure.
Because the Thunder is good, but they're inexperienced.
They are. They lost a 9-point lead yesterday with two minutes. Their coach lost it for them too. They did some things that,
which is really funny considering the Nuggets don't really have a coach. I mean, they have a coach.
Interesting statistic about the Denver Nuggets coach. That did you see that stat today?
Where
too?
He's won 3 regular season games and 5 playoff games, which has never happened.
Adelman,
ever.
What is his? Is it? I'm gonna say Adam Adelman, sure. But that ain't it.
Sure.
The Nuggets fired their coach with like 3 games left. So that head coach, their interim coach, won 3 games. So he's 3-0 in the regular season as an NBA coach. He's now won 5 playoff games. First time in the history of the NBA that a player, that a coach has won more playoff games than regular season games. He's got the all-time highest winning percentage of any coach in the history of the NBA.
I don't think he's coaching that team, though.
It looked like Nikola Jokic, Giannis did the same thing in their championship run.
Sure.
Where your best player once in a while just has to stand up and say, we know the play, guys.
But
we're
running
play 5. Give me the ball.
During timeouts and during break, he was very adamant every single time almost.
Yeah.
And the coach really wasn't saying much.
And as a coach, sometimes you just have to know. Right. You have to know, like, now's the time to not say anything.
Your star needs to step up
and
do it.
Yeah, and because if you get in that star's way, sometimes it hurts everything.
Cavaliers are going to win.
Okay.
I'm going to the limit. I think the Knicks are going to pull it off.
That'd be an upset. That'd be the biggest of all these games would be the biggest upset.
And my Wolves are going to win because I have to say that. And I think they will.
I mean, I want that game to go 7. I wish that game went 17. I would watch those two teams play 100 times out of 100. That'd be fun. That's fun.
Because during that series,
Draymond
Green's going to be suspended for at least 1 game.
Fact. Yep, 100%. And Anthony Edwards is going to have at least 1 game where he breaks Stephen Curry face. He's gonna smash a dunk over somebody, and I'm here.
And Jimmy, Jimmy's gonna be frustrated.
I'm in. Jimmy Butler, former Timberwolves.
Yes,
was. That's right.
Yeah.
So that'll be all the NBA, except for one note I wanted to point out that I saw earlier today.
Yep.
My second favorite NBA coach of all time, the best coach of the modern era.
Yep.
That isn't Phil Jackson.
Nope.
Right
there.
Yes, Greg Popovich.
Yep. Pops.
Greg Popovich has been the head coach, was the head coach of the Spurs for 20 years.
At least.
More. He had 5 championships.
Yep, because he was the coach during David Robinson.
David Robinson to Tim Duncan to Manu Ginobili to Tony Parker to last year's early season with Victor Wembanyama, Kawhi Leonard. He's won championships with 5-time NBA champion as a head coach.
Stepping down.
He suffered a stroke at some point. Yep. He's got some health. He's 70 and change years old.
He's going to be still in the front office the way it
he's,
sounds.
He had a shirt that said El Jefe, President of Basketball Operations. Yeah. Hopefully he's just hanging out, being Greg Popovich. Looks like his rehab time was spent with Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili at the Spurs facility every day.
Yeah.
Those three just working out, hanging out together.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
He is just an amazing coach. The flexibility of having Hall of Famers. They say it's easy to win with talent, but he won in so many different ways. He had a streak of 18 straight years of 50 or more wins. That to me, that consistency is
Mike Tomlin.
Correct, but more championship.
Right?
It's Greg Popovich is.
There's a story they did, just kind of showcasing who he was.
Yeah.
So at a home game in San Antonio, Kawhi Leonard was doing free throws. The crowd was booing him.
Yeah.
Pops hops on the microphone and says, "Hey, this is not who we are. Stop booing."
Yeah.
And the announcers and everybody's like, "We've never seen any
and
coach."
The crowd absolutely listened.
Yep.
Greg Popovich has all the respect in the world from players, coaches, fans.
Yep. He'll still be involved with that.
Yeah.
Organization.
And that franchise has gone from a non-existent entity when I started watching sports to being one of the most consistent 20 years right. of 50 wins. And now with Victor at Wembanyama, their cycle's just going to keep going yep. on. So yeah, he retired from coaching. That was
he's coaching.
Of note. Yeah, of coaching.
You've got three and a half minutes left. You want to talk about baseball?
I want to touch on a couple of baseball-y things.
Okay.
I was going to talk about Devin Williams, former Milwaukee Brewer.
Yeah.
Last year was traded in the offseason for a Caleb Durbin and Nasty Nestor Cortez.
Okay.
The pitcher they traded for is hurt. Caleb Durbin's batting .230.
Oh.
As there's, second, third baseman, whatever. He's a scrappy infielder.
Hey.
As the Brewers have, they just keep cycling through. Devin Williams, the player they traded to the Yankees, was the best reliever in all of baseball sports for 3-4 years in a row. Rookie of the year, reliever of the year 2 times in a row.
Yep.
He struck out, he gave up 80 runs in 200 innings as a reliever for the Brewers.
Okay.
He got traded to the Yankees immediately in spring training. Kind of threw a fit about not being able to grow a sweet beard. So he got their beard policy reversed. Grows a really patchy beard, by the way. So don't grow a beard if you can't. And he's been cursed with one of the worst seasons to start in the... He's booed every day. He shows up to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
he gives up about 2 or 3 runs in the rain, gets booed out, and is now no longer the closer. He's sporting an ERA over 10.
Ouch.
Turns out to be a fantastic trade for the Milwaukee Brewers. Devin Williams was the guy who also, a few years ago during a playoff run, broke his hand punching a wall.
Oh.
Missed the playoffs for the Brewers.
Oh, good.
And also, unfortunately, gave up the worst runs in my lifetime as a Brewer in the playoffs this year. He gave up the 2-run home run to lose the playoffs for him this
year.
So, rough spots for Devin Williams to go from the best to the... Probably the worst closer in baseball. Also, nice buy low. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He could come back to Milwaukee, and he could be great again. That would be fantastic.
Okay.
Other coaching things. Michigan suspended their coach for 2 more games.
Yeah.
This is the second time that this coach for Michigan has been suspended. This guy has been a coach for 2 years.
Michigan State?
Michigan. For Michigan. He was the coach. He was the assistant coach under Harbaugh.
Okay. That
when Harbaugh got suspended, this coach also got suspended for a game. He's now the head coach. He's now suspended again for cheating, for deleting a text chain that incriminated him in him sending his friends and family all over the country to watch games for him, record them, and decipher the hand signals and plays so that Michigan could have an advantage in, get this, the year they won the championship.
Oh.
They won the championship in a year where they've now been caught cheating twice. Harbaugh, disappeared. He got himself a nice soft landing.
Yeah.
Their coach, the assistant coach who took over for him, nice soft landing. He's got a 5-year deal with Michigan. He's one of the higher paid coaches. They won a championship.
Yep.
Their president took a job for the University of Florida. It's an amazing cycle for the NCAA. The amount of money and silliness that goes on in the NCAA is remarkable. Oh, man, this was such a good show. We nailed this one, guy. Thanks, WDRT, for letting us do this. Thanks for pushing buttons. Everybody, have a great weekend. Get out there and find some mushrooms. Bye.